Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Somebody pray for our time in God's Word.
Lord, I pray for this time in God's Word and ask that you will help us to just ask and listen to you, Lord God, and your Word would come forth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to begin by asking you to give me an example of when someone helped you. Just think of one example, one or two sentences. You don't have to go into the whole story. Just what happened? What did they do for you when someone helped you?
Well, I can think of a time where I was very upset about something that had happened at the church we were going to. I was crying and really having a hard time. And so Richard called one of the ladies that I knew well in the church, and she came over and just sat with me and talked with me through it all.
Okay.
So I appreciate that.
Okay.
This is a long time ago thing that popped into my head. Years and years ago, before Yaya, when we met in our house, this family called the Simonettes. They just would help take care of our kids.
Yeah.
They would just take them back into another room and play with them. Kids were little.
Yeah.
You know, like Rebecca's maybe a year or two or something like that. And so they just loved our family, and they loved us too by just helping with kids, just spending time with them.
Okay. Give me an example of a time when someone was honest and you really appreciated their honesty.
Well, I can remember when I was a sophomore at UT. And I had gotten involved in a fellowship, and I was pretty young in my faith. I was kind of a weaker brother. I really didn't have faith to do anything other than just read the Bible and pray. And so I would meet with these guys, and they would be talking about other things. But I would try to change the subject into more spiritual topics. And so the guy who was sort of leading the group, who's still here in town, his name is Tom Sanchez, he took me aside and basically told me that I was being, caring about what was going on with the other guys in the group, and it really hit me hard. But I realized that God was speaking.
Okay.
So I learned something big from that.
Yeah.
Him being willing to be honest with me, and so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually think for me, the first thing that came to my mind when I wrote this down was actually our mechanic. Because he's really honest with me about the car, and I know it, and I really appreciate it, because I know I can trust him. Give me an example of a time someone really encouraged you. I guess in one sense, the one you gave fits that.
Yeah.
That's the help they gave you, was
yes.
Encouragement, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? A time when someone encouraged you.
I remember one time back in 86 when we were looking into possibly going to live in Istanbul. And when we got over there, people over there just said, don't even think about coming over here with your four kids. Just don't even think about it. And so for us, it was like hitting a wall going 60 miles an hour. I was was not expecting it. I was pretty much just devastated. And a lot of anxiety came into my life. And so I met with the guy, and he said, well, just each fear that comes into your life, just take that one and put it at the feet of Jesus. And so I did that. And that just, I've remembered that ever since. So he really helped me to face that change of course in my life. And he brought God back into my, he basically restored my faith.
Okay. Okay, I want you to think of the examples you guys just gave me. In these examples, did these people treat you right?
Yes.
Okay. You then have a picture of how to treat others.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
You know how you should treat others because you know how to treat yourself. Matthew 7, verse 12. We're just going to look at this one verse today. Jesus says, so, whatever you wish others would do for you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the Christian ethic for relationships, in one sentence. I mean, there are a lot of specifics that the law and the prophets get into, but this is the summary of it. And everybody likes this. When Jesus says this, everybody loves it. Atheists like this. Secular people like this. Muslims like this. Hindus like this. And it's so simple. I mean, just look at what he says. Do I really need to preach this? I mean, you already know what he's saying, right? The criteria for how to treat others is, how do you want to be treated? That's the criteria for treating others. And so while it's true that everybody likes it, not everybody does it. There's a difference between liking it and doing it. And the key to doing it is actually right there in the verse. It's, I believe, the very first word in the verse, which is what?
Therefore.
Therefore, or so. The Greek is therefore. It's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore is a cause and effect word. This happens, therefore do this. And so the second thing is the result of the first thing. That's what therefore means. And so Jesus is saying, if you go back there, verse 12 is the result of verse 11. Verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you wish others would do for you, do also to them. Jesus is saying, your heavenly Father treats you as you would like to be treated. Therefore, treat others as you would like to be treated. That's the flow of Jesus' logic. That's how this verse fits in with what he's saying in the sermon. And so, in other words, the foundation for living out this ethic is God. That's the foundation. We cannot live out this rule until we first experience God living out this rule with us. When we see what God has done for us and experience God in our lives, we then are able to do the same thing. And so when we see that God died for us, and that he's destroyed our sin, and that he's given us the Holy Spirit, that he's granted us peace, that he's granted us joy, that he's done all of this, then we are free to live for others. All of our needs are met in Christ. We don't need to go live for ourselves. We have what we need. We're now free to live for somebody else. And when we do that, we fulfill the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus says at the end of that verse. The biggest mistake I think people make with this golden rule, that's what it's called, the golden rule. The biggest mistake people make is they rip God out of it and think they still have what Jesus had. And they don't. See, non-Christians like to use this golden rule. And they're always saying things like, you'll hear them talk, be good, help one another, kindness, pass it on. Right? You hear this all the time in the non-Christian world, this kind of talk. You see it in society, and in one sense, everything they're saying is good. They are right. The problem is, they have no power to actually do it. All of their talk comes across as very shallow because they're actually ripping God out of it and thinking they can do it, and they can't. This world actually thinks they can do this on their own, all by themselves. But they need God. They need to know the Father who gives them good things. Verse 11. So, or therefore, verse 12, they can do likewise. And so this sermon is for kingdom people. For example, if you have no desire for the kingdom of God, if all you want others to do for you is to give you beer and women, that's what you wish they would do for you, then if you apply Jesus' ethic, you should do that for others, right? And you know that's not what he's saying. This sermon is a kingdom sermon. Jesus is talking about how to live in the kingdom of God. Verse 12, when Jesus says, whatever you wish others would do for you, he has an eternal perspective here. And we need to see it that way. People's desires will change in eternity than they are right now. People desire all kinds of things right now, but in eternity, they're going to desire something different than what they desire right now. And the eternal desire is eternal. The current desire is for a few hours. So, for example, right now, you may not want someone to challenge you on your temper or, you know, the way you handled the group. There's a sense in which you may not have wanted him to say those things. And I get that. So should he have said it? Because, you know, you didn't want that. But in eternity, you will sure wish someone had challenged you on those things. And so you have a different desire when you look at it from an eternal perspective than you do when you just look at it from a personal comfort perspective. If we do not have kingdom desires, then we do not really understand our own desires. you have to have a kingdom perspective to understand what you really want. Because long term, you're going to want things that will line up with the kingdom of God, long term. Now, this is why the secular world cannot claim this verse. And it's why the secular world very often does not understand how to apply this verse. Because the secular world approaches this verse with a secular mindset. And they want certain things, and so they think you should do what they want, because it's what they want. But long term, that's not actually what they're going to want. And so that's so do to others as you would have them do unto you must, it must have an eternal kingdom perspective. If it doesn't, then you actually can wind up hurting people by applying this verse. If you don't approach it with a kingdom perspective. Now, however, in most situations, the verse is probably fairly easy to understand how to apply. Right? You who want people to be honest with you, are you honest with them? You get that. Everybody gets that. You who say that your roommate complains too much, do you complain? You who say that your boss is rude, are you rude? You want your spouse or, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever to treat you with respect. Do you treat them with respect? That is the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus has talked a lot about the law in this sermon. He began in chapter 5 talking about the law. You know, do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And then he discusses the law. You know, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. You have heard that it was said, do not be angry, or do not murder. But I say, do not be angry. But I say, do not lust after a woman with your heart. You've heard that it was said, and he goes through this whole law. He's talking about the law. And he's talked about prayer. He's talked about fasting. He's talked about giving. He has talked about a lot of stuff that we find in the law. He's talked about God providing our needs. And now he's giving a summary of it. Verse 12 is a summary of the law. But Jesus has also given us another summary of the law. And so, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to read starting in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Okay, Jesus there is talking about the law and the prophets, isn't he? And really what he's doing is giving you a summary of the law. He says, on these two commandments hang everything. The whole law hangs on love God and love your neighbor. That's what he is saying there. Now, back in Matthew 7, he is saying, whatever you wish others would do for you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. He's summarizing the law again. And so he's actually given us two different summaries of the law in his teaching. In Matthew 22, his summary is love. Love God. Love your neighbor. That summarizes the law and the prophets. If you love, you keep the law. Love is a heart issue. It's something that's inside you. In Matthew 7, verse 12, Jesus says, "Whatever you wish others would do for you, do also for them." Matthew 7 is focused on behavior. Listen to the verbs. Whatever you wish others would, what's the next word? Do for you, and what's the next word? Do also for them, right? He's focused on what you do in Matthew 7. In Matthew 22, he's focused on the heart, what's on the inside. If you're in Matthew 7, you can circle that word do if you want. Love summarizes the law and the prophets. Doing to others what you would have them do to you also summarizes the law and the prophets. They actually are related. Verse 12, Matthew 7, verse 12. When love behaves, Matthew 7, verse 12 is what it does. It's the outward expression of love. If you love someone, you will do to them as you would want them to do to you. And so we are to do what is best for others, because we genuinely love them. That's why we're to do what's best for them. This doing what's best for others isn't divorced from the heart. It's tied to the heart. It's not just an external ethic. It's an external ethic that flows out from a heart that actually loves people. But the reality is, we cannot have the heart and the love of Christ without Christ. See, this is the problem the world has with this verse. They cut out the power for the verse, but they still want it. But they can't have it, because you can't have it without Christ. The call to live as God lives is a call to live in God. You don't live in God, you can't live as God lives. And it's Christ in us that does this. So you guys, you're teaching English to refugees. You're helping them in other ways as well, not just teaching English. That's a good example of, if you were in their shoes, you would want someone to do for you what you are doing for them, right? That's a good example of what this is. You're doing to them what you would want someone to do for you if you were in their position. I think of Paul in Galatians 6, I think it is, where he says, "Do not be weary in doing good." I'm trying to think how it ends. "For in due season you will reap
if you do not faint.
That's right. Okay. Don't faint. Keep going. Don't be weary in doing good. Go. Don't give up. If the people show no gratitude, or if they take advantage of you, keep treating them right. It doesn't matter that they're taking advantage of you. Jesus does not say, treat others as you would have them treat you, so that they will then treat you that way. He doesn't say that. He just says, treat them as you would have them treat you, period. This isn't any promise that people are going to treat you well back. And so don't take it that way. Sometimes people do that. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I'm going to treat you right as because I want you scratching my back later. And sometimes people, you know, think this way, but Jesus makes no such promise. So treat them as you would have them treat you, period. And don't ever give up. Keep doing it, even if they don't respond the way you would like. That is the fruit of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the relational fruit of how we live. Father, I thank you that you have first treated us as we want to be treated. That you have given us all that we need for life and godliness. That you provide our needs, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, all these other things will be added to us as well. You give us all we need. You give us food, you give us home, you give us friends, you give us a place to live. You give us everything. You give us peace. You give us joy. You give us Christ. You've removed our sins. Praise you. You treat us as we want to be treated. I pray by your grace, you open our eyes to see that. I pray by your grace, you fill our hearts with Christ, that we may then treat others the same way. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, homework. What I want to do is I want you to take a minute and think of one person that perhaps you would like to treat better than you do. Maybe that person came just like that in your mind. I don't know. Maybe you have to think about it. For me, it came like that. I want you to ask God one thing you can do to treat this person as you would like to be treated. Whoever that person, just take a minute and think of that. I'm not going to have you share it. Okay, this week, then, your homework is to somehow treat that person, whatever it is God's saying. I don't know who the person is or what God's saying to you, but I want you to, this week, do something with that person as God leads. That's homework. And so, we're done. We can move on to lunch and...
When you were first going over that scripture,